are predicting that we're moving from the industrial age to the information age. If the growth of high technology industry is any measure, they may well be right. Everyone has heard of California's Silicon Valley, North Carolina's Research Triangle, Boston's Route 128, and you can see it closer to home as well. In Fairfax County alone, there are over 400 high technology firms employing over 32,000 people. What's all this going to mean to education? High technology and higher education seem to be an unlikely partnership, yet with universities facing a weakening economy and a declining student population, the burgeoning high-tech industry may give a new push to the need for education. High-tech businesses, too, depend on universities for research and training. So how can these two groups best work together, and what's in it for each of them? You're listening to Frankly Speaking, and I'm Helen Ackerman at George Mason University. With me are William Perigard, President of ComSat Telesystems Incorporated, and Dr. Wade Gilley, Senior Vice President at George Mason University. Mr. Perigard, your firm makes telecommunications equipment, so it could be said that you're at the forefront of the information age. How important is a university to this kind of high technology development?
I think that to answer the question, well, first of all, I think the university is very, very important to the culture, the cultural aspect of high technology and the development thereof. And I think the role a university can play is as the is somewhat of an analogy to a molecule, where the university, in fact, becomes a nucleus around which the various technology firms can interact as they are a part of the outer structure of the molecule.
Dr. Gilley, what does the type of high technology development taking place in Northern Virginia mean to a university?
Well, it can mean a lot of things to a university. It can mean something very special to George Mason University, because we're a regional university serving the largest region in Virginia, perhaps the most sophisticated and complex region in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And if we're to serve this region, we have to interact with the along the entire face of the community, including the high technology industry, which in itself is very diverse, and means that we need to adjust our thinking to so that we can interface with the industry, so that we can react with them, so that the university can develop as the community develops, both industrially, technologically, and culturally, and that we won't be left in an enclave by ourselves as time goes on. We have a real opportunity here, I think, to grow and develop as a young university, to grow and develop as our community grows and develops. And I think the university will be shaped by the technological revolution that's going on in the world, and it's a lot of it's centered here in Northern Virginia.
What does all this mean for arts and humanities education?
Well, I think that it has some very significant meanings for arts and humanities, because for the type of development that is taking place here in Northern Virginia, it needs more than just the engineers and technicians and research support. It needs a cultural center. And one of the things that is missing in Northern Virginia is a center that can can bring the community together, business-wise, industry, and culturally. And I think the types of companies that are moving here and are developing their high technology industry are attracting very highly educated people, people with families who are interested in cultural activities, with children who want first-rate schools. And this means that George Mason has to develop along all the fronts. We have to be able to provide technical graduates, graduates from our business schools that can serve the industry and work in the industry. But at the same time, the university has to develop in its performing arts and become a real cultural center for the community, the larger Northern Virginia community. We have to turn out teachers from our education school who can work in and be a part of a first-rate public school system, which Northern Virginia has. So it challenges the university across all the fronts, including the humanities.
Mr. Perigard, we use the term high technology pretty loosely. What does it mean from your perspective?
Well, that is a difficult question that some of my co-workers and some of the people that I've interfaced with both at the state and national level have argued, debated, I guess is the correct word, for some amount of time. But when I talk about it, I guess I feel that it is the forefront of our technological, of our scientific and engineering base that we've developed in the universities throughout this country, and our ability to apply that basis to the solution to a number of problems. So I don't think it pertains just to electronics, which has gotten an awful lot of publicity and an awful lot of play in the media. Certainly the two wars that we've just gone through in different parts of the world have played up electronic countermeasures and the application of electronics, and that's fairly evident that that's high technology. But nor do I think it's limited to what we're doing with genetics, genetics engineering. But I think it is a much, much broader, has a much broader basis, and it certainly is applicable to the work we're doing with basic materials, the work we're doing throughout almost all of our lives.
Here in Northern Virginia, we have a somewhat unique situation in that you have a high technology industrial development taking place with the development of what is a fairly young university. How can both groups take advantage of this?
Well, I think that from the perspective of the university that we are in a developing stage. We aren't restricted by lots of tenured in faculty. We aren't restricted by a steady state operation. We're growing and changing, and we're going to grow and change, and that this means that the university itself can be sort of on the cutting edge of education. We aren't restricted by a great many traditions. On the side, from my perspective, on the side, industry side, here is a forming university. You don't have to go in and persuade it to make massive internal changes, because it's growing and developing right along, just almost as fast as the industry itself. It's grown to 15,000 students in just a little over 10 years. So the industry has an opportunity to participate in really a high technology university, whether you're talking about computer science or the performing arts. George Mason can be a high technology university.
Well, the aims of a high technology industry and those of a university don't always coincide. Do either of you see a conflict arising here?
Well, I think the field is I think that there is always potential conflict between any entities that aspire to growth. So I think the potential for a conflict is there, but frankly, I would like to believe, and I do believe that there should not be a conflict as long as we both industry and the academic world, in this case particularly George Mason, go about and keep to ourselves the priorities that we should have for ourselves, even while we interplay and try to achieve an overall social, cultural, and academic / industrial environment that would not be possible without each other. I just am absolutely excited about the fact that we have the opportunity in the industrial community to grow with a university that is truly interested in us. And I feel it's incumbent upon the industrial community to be truly interested in what I call our university.
Well, as you say, George Mason is indeed working with area firms, area high technology firms. Dr. Gilley, how is the university doing this, and what kinds of interaction are the two groups contemplating at the moment?
Well, I might just go back and answer my answer to the other question is, can we work together Is there a conflict? I think there's always the potential for this, for an outside force having a conflict, creating a conflict with the goals and aspirations of an academic community such as a university. But I think that we're in a unique situation there too, in that first George Mason developed as a liberal arts institution, and now we have we have just to balance the university in the professional schools and in the technology side. We have the opportunity for tremendous growth and still have a good balance within the university. Secondly, because we grew as a liberal arts university, I think it will be easier to put the two together. If we had, there are many technical institutes that grew into university that they have very great difficulty in bringing in the humanities into it. But, so we are very unique, and we can do that, I think, much easier than if we had to come the other direction. So I think that is a real asset as far as, and also should decrease the conflict and really give us a real opportunity for better cooperation. As to what the university is doing, we're doing a number of things. We're adding new programs. We've added undergraduate degrees in computer science, electronics engineering, and decision sciences to go along with programs like business administration, the MBA program, and many others. We've offered a cluster of master's degree programs, which enrolled 100 students for the first time this fall in operations research, electronics engineering, computer science, decision sciences, and applied physics. So in the curricular area, we're making some rather significant advances. We're interfacing with the industry in a number of other areas. For example, we offer a number of short courses with the New Horizons series for the high-tech industry. Over 200 people participated in that in 6 seminars last fall. We expect participation this fall. We have cooperative education, in which we're beginning to move out and work with the industry in that field. And then we've been working for the last year to create an Institute of Science and Technology, which contrary to what you might believe on first blush, that it might be a research institute, it's not. What the George Mason Institute is basically sort of a model program for industrial liaison. It's an umbrella unit that coordinates, initiates, interacts, ensures interaction with committee, with the industrial community, at all across the face of the university at critical points, whether it's at the curriculum level, whether it's research projects, whether it's cooperative education, whether it's just plain corporate relations. But the institute will cut across the university and at critical points will coordinate, initiate, or ensure that appropriate cooperation and liaison occurs between the high-tech industry and the university. And in that context, it's a unique model for industrial liaison that we're trying to create, and we've got some industrialists, including Bill Perigard here, who are working with us, and we greatly appreciate them because of their time and effort. I'm sure it's going to be a real success.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see what develops at George Mason University. It does seem to have a unique opportunity in this area. I would like to thank you both for being with me today. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, production coordinator Pat Ping. For information about our guests or this program, please call 703-323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman at George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.